19 minutes after 11. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Ahlan wa sahlan. Welcome to Al Mashriq on Radio Islam International. It's Tuesday morning. My name is Junaid Jassad. My co-host, Mulana Naeem. Talkarat, Mulana Saab. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. How are you, Mulana?
Very well, alhamdulillah. Allah shukr. How are you keeping, Mulana?
Alhamdulillah, shukr. Very well.
Alhamdulillah. Very interesting act of kindness and a very traumatic time for anybody to go through that type of difficulty of experiencing a motor vehicle accident.
Yes, indeed, Mulana. And just looking at it, it had taken place in the month of Ramadan, just a week ago, Mulana. So we can understand from this year that, you know, during the month of Ramadan, especially the days when it was extremely cold, this incident had taken place. So we can see how traumatic it is, and alhamdulillah, at least Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had made it easy for the family at that time, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had provided them with help at that time, and the family was saved as well.
Yes, 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 definitely. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it easy for them, and indeed it is one of the hallmarks of this Muslim ummah, and particularly of our Muslim community in South Africa, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has favored us with this love, this muhabba, this type of unity, that whenever there is any type of incident that takes place, whether it is a crime, whether it is a motor vehicle accident, or whatever it is, alhamdulillah, we are all there to lend our hand, to help, to assist, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward those who go out of their way among these people as well, who make sure that they see to every need of the family and of those who are in distress.
Yes, indeed. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward them. Indeed, you know, when going through a tough time or a difficult moment, at that time there to see the unity of the Muslim ummah indeed brings much joy to the heart. And it shows us that how united this ummah is, even though we are facing some very dark and trying times. But even through all the trials and everything, it is indeed honorable, and it is heartwarming to see that when the need arises to help a fellow Muslim, that alhamdulillah, all the Muslims get together and they stick together as one. As the hadith had been mentioned in the incident, that this lady says, she recalls that the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that the Muslims are like one body. If one part pains, everyone is equally, the rest of the body also feels the pain. And this is the Muslim ummah, that indeed wherever there is trouble, we should always feel the pain for our next Muslim brother and sister, and we should always try to alleviate that pain as well.
Yes, that is the important thing, that when any Muslim is going through difficulties, whatever it may be, we need to make an effort to try and assist and help and be there for our fellow Muslim brother. And you know, Mulana, at the time of an accident, I know that one is the accident in itself, the difficulties that a person goes through during the accident, and then the other is when the person has, you know, when the accident is over, and that initial shock and that initial injury, and perhaps the recovery is over, and then to get yourself back together, to go through all of the procedures of getting the accident report, and then getting your motor vehicle repaired, going through all of that problems, and you know, getting back to what you were before, that is the big challenge and the big difficulty. And alhamdulillah, you know, we find people assisting and helping in situations like that as well. But Mulana, you know, just to highlight the type of efforts that are made by our Muslim brothers, I know now recently there's been a group established called, I don't know what their name is, but I know the purpose is that for the N17 highway, the N17 highway is a highway that runs from Springs right through till Ermelo and past Ermelo right up until Swaziland. And this group, their purpose is to attend to any emergencies or even mayats, janazas, anything along the entire N17 route. And they've established a WhatsApp group, they've established working protocols, they've established relationships with emergency personnel, with police, with the pathology department, and with all of the relevant departments and people. They have all the contact details. They have all that is necessary for a person who's facing any type of difficult emergency on the N17. So, alhamdulillah, you know, this is a great facility. Many people travel on this route, and they have really assisted many, many people already, even before they were established as a group. And now, inshallah, we hope that now that they are established properly as a formal group, they'll be able to do tremendous work. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward them, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala take their work from strength to strength.
Ameen. Indeed, you know, hearing this here, this is indeed a great sign, and it is very heartwarming and reassuring to know that some of our Muslim brothers have taken up this. Alhamdulillah, you know, if we look throughout South Africa, I have seen many cases. Previously, I had stayed also in the Free State, and there were a few brothers, alhamdulillah, that, you know, whenever there was an accident or whenever there was an emergency, they did not look at the circumstance, rather they look at how they could help immediately, and they would respond immediately. And alhamdulillah, it is good to see that at least certain people are taking the initiative to go forth and form such groups that forge unity amongst the ummah, and as well they create bonds with the relevant authorities in order to make sure and see that, especially with the Muslim ummah, that whenever there's someone in need, they are there to help.
Alhamdulillah, you know, we cannot thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enough for His mercy, and we make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward all who are making the effort. Also, Marana, a few points of note, and perhaps a point of lesson as well, is that in a situation of accident and in a situation of emergency, we need to be very, very careful of how we deal with it. And one of the situations that come up is the situation of a kidnapping. And it is not a far-fetched thing. It is a reality that we have faced just recently with two incidents in the northern, in the Limpopo province. And I remember Yusuf Abramji going on social media, making public statement that please don't post the information on your social media, because that jeopardizes the case and it puts the people who were kidnapped at risk as well. So that is one point. The second point is with regards to motor vehicle accidents or other types of emergencies, whether it is hijackings or murders, whatever else, that please, we have to be very, very, very careful before we post anything on to our social media, onto our WhatsApp discussions, onto Twitter, Facebook, whatever else it may be, because it is possible that, and it has happened, the reality is that it has happened, and that is why we are warning people and giving this advice, that you post certain person has passed away and the family don't even know about it, and the close ones don't even know about it. The reality is that the person may have been injured very severely. Somebody looked at the person from a distance. This man looks dead. Let me put it onto WhatsApp so my family knows this man is dead. Meanwhile, the man is not dead. The man is severely injured, and he's on his way to hospital for recovery. So before you post anything on your WhatsApp or social media, make sure that it is verified information, and then only you should forward that information and pass it on. Otherwise, it causes great, great distress to the family. Maulana, you know, just we had in the end of last year, I had a good friend of mine who met up in an accident on the N17, and his wife had passed away. His son had passed away, and he was going through a devastating time, a very tragic time, not only for himself but for his family members, for other people as well. And despite this, there were people who were going onto social media and spreading misinformation with regards to his children who had been injured and who were recovering in hospital. And you know, this caused real panic among the family, and it caused real difficulty to the family as well. And we need to be very, very careful about it. We need to make sure that we do not post anything without verifying that information.
Yes, indeed, Mullah. I think another point that should be made also is that respect the family sensitivity. You know, many a times you see an accident has taken place. Yes, everything has been verified. But however, what happens is people go on posting. Now, recently we had an accident where a alim, his family had been injured in that accident. And we see what happens is that people go on posting that, you know, make dua. We understand that everyone wants to make dua. However, we should understand that if the family does not want everything to be broadcasted, we should avoid sending it over social media. We should avoid passing the message on. If they have requested that, listen here, please do not post this message any further. And especially pictures of the accidents. You know, many people will post the picture and over, and it's traumatizing, especially to family members. What happens is that the family members now recall that incident, and as this gets passed on over time and time again, it happens that it causes more damage to the family and it causes them more hurt than instead of helping them recover from the incident as well.
So we need to be really very, very careful about that, inshallah. Aziz, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us all, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from causing harm by means of what we are saying. And social media is one way of talking. And before, when you wanted to talk, you could pass the message on to one person, or you could speak to maybe a room of people. Now, with your mobile phone, you have hundreds of people at your disposal, and that is why it is all the more necessary for us to be cautious and careful before we say anything on social media. Malana, it's 21 minutes to 12. We will be joined on the line, inshallah, now by Malana Yahya Bam. Let's take a quick break. We'll be back just after that. Welcome back to Al-Mashriq on Radio Islam International, and welcome to our guest this morning, Mawlana Yahya Bam Sahib. Mawlana Sahib, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
How are you keeping this morning, Mawlana?
Shukr, alhamdulillah.
How's the month of Ramadan going in Indonesia?
Allahu Akbar, wonderful, Mawlana, really wonderful. And we make dua that Allah Ta'ala accept all these moments. By the time we speak next week, we will already be entering into the last 10 days.
Gee, last time we spoke, you told us about the three Juzah night Tarawih. Was it a three night Tarawih?
Yeah, we have both. We have the three in Juzah night, and that is the first Quran was done. We are now in the second Quran. And then in the first three nights, we had one Quran, 10 paras each.
Mashallah. So that's tremendous.
People are trying their own, but inshallah Allah qabul kare. As in that hadith, when Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that cursed be that person who gives the month of Ramadan and does not attain the maghfirat from Allah Ta'ala. So whatever little, whichever way, whoever tries, Allah's mercy is such that Allah wants us to take the first step. You take one step, His mercy will run towards you. You go walk crawling, it comes walking. You go walking, it comes running, Maulana.
Oh yes, definitely, alhamdulillah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's help is with you when you're doing the service of the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the kalam of Allah is definitely Allah Ta'ala's promise is there to protect the kalam. So when a person is reciting Taraweeh and is performing Taraweeh, then he's doing the service of the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I mean, how much more help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will he need?
Definitely, Mawlana. And the people that are not hufaz, but they are standing through that many hours, and they are doing that istighfar. And every time we make namaz, Mawlana, every petty, small little thing which we might count, or in humanly eyes it might be, this is a small thing. You read one tasbih of la ilaha illallah, or you read istighfar a few times, or you made namaz. But in the eyes of Allah, Allah does not weigh it with the way we weigh it. It's a spiritual thing, and Allah elevates and multiplies it by so many times. ordinarily it is so many times multiplied, in Ramadan it is even more. So if a person does that ordinary, Mawlana, because Allah's Nabi said Ameen to that curse of Sayyidina Jibreel, wherein if you get into the month of Ramadan and do not get yourself forgiven, and Allah's Nabi never wanted a curse to anyone. He came as Rahmatul Lil Alameen. So if any bit of effort is made, make that effort and Allah will accept it.
Yes, definitely. We make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept all of those khutbahs here in Ermelo. Alhamdulillah, the first khatam was completed on Saturday night, and then last night, alhamdulillah, the second khatam was started again of 2.5 paras, inshallah. They'll complete on the 27th night, inshallah.
But this is apart from the masjid.
Ji, that is apart from the masajid. The two masajid will complete on the 29th night, inshallah.
Yeah, they have the normal one para a night.
Ji.
And this is in some other venue.
Ji, this is in the madrasa classrooms.
Right. Alhamdulillah, mashallah. And
this is only from Allah Ta'ala.
Ji.
I see, only through the mercy of Allah Ta'ala that Allah Ta'ala made it easy.
Alhamdulillah. And this is the way people are turning to Allah. Although troubled times are here in certain countries, we know that there the tarawih making, farz making is so difficult. I mean, if we read what is happening in Fallujah at the moment and the heavy attacks that have taken place in the bombardment by the Russian forces, they can't get to the masjid, forget Rosa. Survival is a question at the moment, and Allah through His infinite mercy has given us so much, Mawlana.
Yes, this is really from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us, and we make shukr that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted us so much. Our Mawlana Naeem Dokrat is also in our Lanesia studios with us on the program today, Mawlana.
Ji, Mawlana Naeem?
Ji, Mawlana, you know...
Ji, please come in.
Ji, Mawlana, you know, looking at, alhamdulillah, the different venues here in South Africa, I can indeed say that we are really blessed. And alhamdulillah, you know, looking at the zeal and the shauq of the Huffaz, especially to recite the Taraweeh Salah, is indeed admirable. Looking at the different venues, you know, looking at certain masajid and every place, there was one house I came across, and I spoke to a friend of mine, and I asked him that how many Huffaz are y'all in this place. He says we are 10 Huffaz, and what happens is they've decided that because they could only find one venue, unfortunately, this year for all 10 Huffaz other than the masjid, so what happened was that they decided to place them in a haram style where every night 3 Huffaz would read, and the next night they'll rotate like us here, and they'll complete their rotation like us here. So alhamdulillah, it is good enough to see that the Huffaz are taking this initiative, and as well as the Musallis, you know, looking at some of our brothers, alhamdulillah. Unfortunately, in our society, we are quick to judge many people. You know, we look at many people and we judge them, that we think, oh, you know, this man doesn't read Salah. But alhamdulillah, you see the very same people whom people judge, they are the first ones standing in the safs for Taraweeh Salah, and they'll stand for the full 20 rakats, alhamdulillah. And you know, it's really admirable of them. Even the old people, you know, taking out the time to spend and read the Taraweeh Salah and perform behind the Imam, and really to just listen to the Quran, is indeed a great bounty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
This is the beauty of the month of Ramadan, that even if a person was drifting in the other 11 months, even if he goes away, he moves away, Allah Ta'ala gives him the opportunity to pull himself back in this month of Ramadan. And that is why those that have the chance of doing maximum, because the rest of the year Allah gives us an opportunity, a chance, do your farz and do your sunnah and be, but in the month of Ramadan, exert yourself, put yourself to the full, and extract the nuraniyat for yourself in the month of Ramadan as much as you can. That is what the month of Ramadan is all about, Mawlana.
Yes, to apply yourself to the best way you can, Mawlana. we've got the month of Ramadan half remaining. These are the days of Maghfirah. And what advice would you have for us that these last few days, if we have not started anything yet, if we have not been making efforts yet, how do we get into the habit and how do we build up so that we can make the most out of the last 10 days?
Yeah, Maulana, first of all, it will be that if you did not manage to abstain from a controlling of the eyes and the tongue and guna and sin, then do that now. In your actions, that goodness come. And then get a few things going. One is, for example, you are making a salat. If you can manage in your jama'at, do it. Number two, you are reading your tarawih. Make the tarawih properly now. And sometime in the night at the time of suhoor, spend a few rakats of nafil in the form of tahajjud salat. Dua making, if we can, turn to dua. Let dua be one ibadat like the many ibadats we do. Like Quran reading is an ibadat, and we have a time for our Quran reading. Then we have suhoor time, which the time we get up and we have our sari, knowing that although our rozas are not so long, but you will, and you can manage without getting up a sari, but it is an ibadat, and you want to be there for fajr, so you arrange your time such that you can have that few dates at the time of suhoor. In the very same way, arrange time, take out time, let time be spent behind the making of dua. And whatever little time it be, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, and there could be two types of dua making sessions. One is your own dua making in the midst of the night when all are sleeping, and two is a joint dua with your family. Whether it be after the supper table, after the tarawih, or before the sahur, after the sahur, but 10, 15 minutes loud dua where the family hears, the head of the family, they hear you reading and pleading with Allah, and they see the direction of your mind and your thinking, because you will be making the dua loud, and they will be hearing and seeing what you're asking Allah for, what you're asking Allah to save your family from. And that is how you will set straight the agenda that needs to be laid out in the family in that dua, Maulana.
I think another thing that someone asked a question here is that how do we encourage those who cannot fast, especially if though they are sickly, and what encouragement can be given to those women who at this point in time cannot keep roza? What is the best encouragement, especially with the last 15 days remaining? How do they go about worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, getting closer? What are the best forms of ibadah for them?
They are getting the bread buttered on both sides, Maulana. In this way, that they are in the month of Ramadan and they can't read. So that doesn't mean they can't do istighfar, tawbah, tasbih, and sit by the one that's reading the Quran, especially if there's a hafiz in the family making them read the door. They can listen, there's nothing wrong with listening to Quran. And in this way, make a lot more besides what they could do themselves. Then, when the Ramadan is over, and when they're going to keep their roza again, then that is their Ramadan extension. So they have the 30 days of Ramadan plus another 10 days when they're going to get the extension. That can also become Ramadan to them. The great beauty and mercy and rahmah of Ramadan for the woman is more than the men, in that the men get only the 30 days, the women get the 30 days plus they're going to get their whatever 7 or 10 days. So that time they will do ibadat, and they will get all the multiplications, and they will get all their multiplication now also, in that they keep a tasbih in their hand while sweeping in the house, or cooking in the house, or driving a car, or sitting in the office, wherever she is, she has a tasbih with her, and she carries on doing the zikr of Allah. That's why Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the encouragement he gave, that there are four things that you need to do in Ramadan. Although the Taraweeh is there, although the Farz is there, and all the namazes and all that, but here in this particular hadith, what do I do in Ramadan? He has mentioned four things. What are the four things? Two that you need very easily, and two that you can't do without. Read La ilaha illallah and read Istighfar. You don't need wudu for these two. You don't need wudu to say La ilaha illallah repeatedly. You don't need wudu for Istighfar. And the two that you can't see without, Allahumma inni as'aluka al-jannah, Allah give me jannah, wa na'udhu bika min an-nar, and Allah save me from jahannam, save me from the fire of jahannam. This also you don't need wudu for. You just keep reading it. So Allah's Nabi has shown us that you don't need wudu or ghusl to read what I'm going to show you, what you need to do plenty in the month of Ramadan, Mawlana.
So simple things that bring us closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it is accessible to everybody. Even a woman who is unable to read Quran can recite these things. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy is tremendous upon us, and it is for us to take benefit of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The beauty about all of this, Malana, is that it doesn't require us to dedicate a time where we separate from everything else and where we sit down and where we do not do anything else. These ibadat that you have mentioned, these adhkar, can be done while we are driving, while we are cooking, while we are doing anything else.
Surely not, Mawlana. And with regards to those old people or the sick and weak that cannot make roza, that cannot keep roza, for them, listen what they are going to get. Ya Allah, they did not get sick out of their own will, or they decided they want to get sick, because all conditions come from Allah. Sickness also comes from Allah. That is why they ill. That is why they cannot keep roza. That ill banda needs to make this niyat. Allah, if I was well, I would have kept the roza. But Allah, bimari has overtaken me, I can't keep the roza. So I will give the equivalence of one sadaqat al-fitr in the form of compensation for the roza that I'm not keeping. But Allah, if I had my strength, I would have kept the roza. Wallah, Allah is going to give you the reward of keeping the roza as a roza is supposed to be kept. Then any ordinary person, his roza is, their roza is, with the weakness and with the fault and all that. But when Allah gives, He gives in full. He will give you the roza, 100% reward of 100% roza, the way it's supposed to be kept. So sometimes if you look at it from that logic, you might desire that, hey, I'd rather be sick, man. Allah is going to pay me, He's going to pay me in full. If I keep my roza, I'm going to keep it half caste, in whichever way. But if He gives it to me, He'll give it to me in full. I have the umid of Allah's mercy and rahmah to be more than anything else. Mawlana.
Alhamdulillah. And Mawlana, this, what I feel about the month of Ramadan and with regards to Taraweeh is that Taraweeh in itself is a tremendous ibadah in the month of Ramadan. And if we had to really perform our Taraweeh correctly, properly, and make sure that our Taraweeh is maintained properly, that in itself is what Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has prescribed for us for the month of Ramadan, to draw nearness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Definitely, Mawlana. Hazrat Mawlana Abrarlak Sahib used to say that the night of power, the night of Qadr, is definitely in one of the nights of the month of Ramadan. Some say it is in the odd night, some in the 27th night, some in the 10th night, but or in the whole Ramadan, it could be tonight, not Laylatul Qadr. But in any case, if the Laylatul Qadr is any way in the month of Ramadan, if the night is 10 hours, and the Taraweeh is 1 hour, if 10 nights is equivalent to 80 years of Ibadah, one night will be equal to Work it out.
Gee.
1 hour will be equal to how many? If 1 night is 10 hours, and 10 hours is equal to 80 years, 1 hour is equal to
8 years.
8 years. So 8 years of ibadah you're going to get in any case. And
gee,
this is maqbool ibadah.
So
if a person does a tarawih, no, sorry, we are multiplying wrong. We said 1,000 months. 1 night is 1,000 months. Laylatul Qadr khairu min al-jishar. So if 10 hours is equal to 1,000 months, then 1 hour is equal to 100 months.
See.
So you will definitely get 100 months of ibadah if you just make your every night's tarawih correctly.
Definitely.
Yes, you know, there's another interaction coming in here, and a person has asked, how do we deal with people, especially those who complain that sometimes Hafizabs are reading too slow or reading too fast, and, you know, especially when they are young, you know, people come and criticize them, and they criticize the Hafizabs for reading, but yet they are young and they don't understand. How do we explain to people that they should have patience, especially in the month of Ramadan? You know, people complaining all the time about the different aspects of the masjid, especially, and criticizing the Hafizabs. How do we deal with them?
First of all, I will say that look at those people that can't even get to the masjid. Then look at those countries that are in war-torn. They can't even go out of their houses. Yeah, Allah has given us beautiful masjid, and in there, the Hafiz is reading the Quran, reading the word of Allah. And whether he reads fast or slow, that's on his head. You have come with the niyat of reading the Quran, listening to the Quran. Allah has not said that you're going to get the reward of reading the Quran. Alif Lam Mim has got so many rewards if you're that fast. Alif Lam Mim has got so many rewards if you're that slow. No. That half is going to be rewarded for his reading. You're going to be rewarded for listening to the whole Quran. And whether he reads fast or slow, he's reading the whole Quran. You're going back with the full reward of a full Quran. Don't measure Allah and the giving of Allah by what the Hafiz does. He will, inshallah, as time comes, as his maturity comes in, as his experience become better, he will better up his reading. But I mean, here in Indonesia, we had now on this Sunday the passing away of Hafiz, our first Hafiz that used to read in Indonesia, Hafiz Sahib, who we used to call Apple. And Allahu Akbar, years and years of Quran reading, and he went through the same. Sometimes criticism of fast reading, sometimes criticism of slow reading, but he always used to say, Allah nu kalam ham ravanu she. I want to read the word of Allah. And the different people want it different ways. Where are you going to satisfy everyone? That the Hafiz must also remember that when you do the khidmat of the people, in whichever way, some people are going to favor you and be happy with you. There are going to be those that are going to go against the way you read. But that is part and parcel of the whole happening, Malala.
Yes, indeed, Mulana. I think also another aspect to be borne in mind, that whatever we do, we should do it solely and only for the pleasure of Allah.
Only, definitely.
And then we will attain ikhlas, inshallah, and we will be rewarded for all our actions if we do.
Inshallah. Allah Ta'ala accept our effort. Mulana, Amulu?
Jee.
Salman.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept all of our efforts, and we need to make the most. Maulana, perhaps just a quick word on i'tikaf. Inshallah, we'll be starting on Sunday. Maulana can give us some virtues and advice on i'tikaf.
A person that goes and throws himself in front of any rich man today, I go and sit at his door and I tell him, "Bhai, please give me." And that rich man looks at me and he tells me today, he sees me sitting in the morning, in the afternoon, evening, and sitting there for a whole 10 days, rain, summer, sun, cold, anything, I'm sitting there begging. Anybody, me and you, will say, "Wait, what is this one? What does this person want?" And when you ask him, "How much you want?" He tells you, "Please give me 1 cent. You say, "Ya Allah, please, 1 cent, take it, man. take 20, 50 cents, take a couple of hundred rands. Wallah, in the eyes of Allah, the dunya is not even equal to the wing of a mosquito. Let's go and sit at his door and tell him, Allah wants maaf karde. Allah accept this etiquette with bringing ourselves to your door. Accept it once. A person that sits in itikaf for every day, there is a trench between him and Jahannam, the width of which is far greater than that which is between the earth and the sky, Maulana.
SubhanAllah. What a beautiful analogy, Maulana, that you have given for itikaf. And people need to start preparing for their itikaf, whoever is going to be sitting. Make sure you have your adequate preparations. And make sure that you are ready for that etiquette, inshallah.
And one last thing, Maulana, in that etiquette, you are going to learn. Some people will say that etiquette in its original form is complete silence, completely being cut off from the rest in your little tent. But today, because ilm has become so there is such a shortage of ilm, ulama are sitting with those people in etiquette and teaching them masail. One masla, 1,000 rakats in the field. One masla, 1,000 rakats in the field. Can you imagine in the night where you sit there between 9:30 and whatever, 2-3 hours, and hundreds of masail, will you manage reading that many rakats? Believe in the words of the Nabi of Allah. Every masla that is going to be discussed and opened and given in that nightly program is 100 rakat nafil at each time, or is it 1,000 rakat nafil at each time, depending on how you approach it. And it's going to be hundreds and thousands of rakats or nafil namaz in these big nights. What more you want? Therefore,
yes,
go for the itikaf, make the niyyah that I'm going to be seeking ilm and becoming a talib ilm while I'm in this itikaf. You will score even more.
Allah, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept. Jazakumullah khairan for your time this morning, Mawlana. Inshallah, we will speak next week, Tuesday.
Jazakallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Mawlana Naeem, jazakumullah khairan. Inshallah, we will speak tomorrow.
Inshallah, subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Inshallah, shukran to our studio operator, Brother Ziyad, this morning. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.